So when are we going to, like, where are we starting the recording at? Is this, like, part of the podcast?
All right, Johnny K, welcome back to the podcast. What up?
Nothing much, my guy. How are you?
Pretty good. I like that blue shirt you're rocking right now.
Thanks, man. I know you like the eyes, so I figured I would wear it just for you.
I appreciate it. Speaking of blue, that's the colors of the Dallas Mavericks. Give me like a update synopsis on how the Mavericks are doing this season and where do you think they can go this year?
Had you asked me before Wednesday's atrocious outing against Utah, I mean, I'm honestly a little discouraged because I feel as though like we've kind of taken a step back from last year and we essentially have the same roster. There's been some minor changes, like the biggest mistake we could have ever made in trading Seth Curry for Richardson, and also just minor changes outside of that. But, you know, we still have the same nucleus of players, and I haven't seen an uptick in performance since KP's come back, and maybe they're still trying to figure all that out, but we were a 500 team without him, and we're a 500 team with him, and something's got to change soon, you know, because we are literally non-existent in the paint. We cannot get boards on offense or defense. Scoring's not an issue, but our three-point game is subpar.
I'm looking at the standings right now. You guys are 9, 10, 11, the 12th seed in the West.
Yeah, that's really awful.
What the heck? You guys are 8-12 or 8-10, the 12th seed in the West. You guys got a way to go. And then you're a game and a half back from the 8th seed. So not great.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess that those standings don't really mean much this early on. But the fact that we're a game and a half back is more the, I guess, indicator of where we're at. But honestly, Luka, despite being like one of three-ish players in the NBA to be averaging essentially a triple-double every game, I feel like he's even underperforming, you know?
Really? Even Luka?
I've said what's going to make him an elite player is him being able to hit the three. And His three-point percentage this year has been absolutely atrocious. And I think he's kind of pressing and forcing a lot because of the lack of offensive production around him. You know, like we've got our five is pretty much.
I was thinking, do you guys have anyone else who's really – I mean, besides KP, who's good when he's healthy and not always healthy, do you have any other like really, really, really good players? Or is like a lot of – average guys, it seems like.
I mean, three really is quite a bit, but I would say, yeah, I mean, we have Tim Hardaway Jr., who is a plus player in my mind, and other than that, no, not really. We have Dorian Finney-Smith, who's a good role player, great on defense, but pretty ineffective on offense. You know, we've got Boban, we've got Cauley Stein. So our five is essentially just a 7-foot post that stands in the paint on defense and doesn't do shit on offense.
Exactly. It's like Luka has to do everything.
Yeah. And I mean, everyone else, I feel like James Harden, everyone else is literally their role players. And really there's just not much, you know, there's good players, you know, like Trey Burke has shown like a lot of promise, but he's not an everyday guy. Richardson is good, but he's either a zero or a hero, and he's overrated on defense. Mm-hmm. That was like their big pitch of bringing him to Dallas, was that we needed more defense. And I'd even say we had a better defense last year, and nothing changed.
Yeah. If you guys, I don't know why you guys, and you kind of mentioned this before, why did you guys trade one of the best 3-point shooters in NBA history? Like percentage wise, he's up there with the best of them.
And shooting 55% this year.
Yeah, that's nuts. That's nuts. And like, that's a perfect fit with Luka, like a guy Luka can drive and kick to and hit a wide open three. Like, that's what you want. And they traded him for a guy who put, like, for defense? What do you mean defense? Everyone scores 120 points in the NBA. You don't really need defense. You need to score points.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Ever since we brought KP to Dallas, before even seeing them play a game, I knew that, with taking the obvious risk of bringing a player like Porzingis in, before like all the major injury issues with him, when he first came into the league, I for some reason I knew this kid, and didn't you used to like the Knicks?
I do like the Knicks. The Knicks are my team, but they've broke my heart so many times. I've done so many stupid things that I can't physically and emotionally support them anymore. But if they ever come back to relevance, and it seems like they're getting their shit together a little bit, then I might come back, but I don't follow them anymore. But they're still my team, but I just don't – I can't.
I was about to say, because I knew this little fuckboy back in college that, like, made me, like, just kind of pay attention to the Knicks. And
that's my team, Melo and all them.
Yeah, so when KP was on for them, like, I looked at him and I was like, that's the next Dirk. Like, it would be great if we could get him, you know? And now that we have him, when he first came, I said, we're still going to need another big-time player to be able to contend in what has been a cocked and loaded Western Conference for – I don't even know how long. This is probably the most even it's been, Eastern versus Western Conference, with Harden going over to Brooklyn. And there's a few scrappy teams in the East, actually. You know, Toronto's mm-hmm. not bad. And then you've got the normal, you've got Milwaukee, you've got Miami, you've got
Boston.
I'm sure I'm Boston. Thank you. I know I was missing a big one. But before this year, it was just really lopsided. You know, I feel like the Western Conference was producing four or five teams that could represent the West in the NBA mm-hmm. Finals, whereas the East, you knew it was going to be LeBron and the Cavs, LeBron and the Heat, you know, and I knew we were going to need another piece.
Yeah. So are you guys – that's the thing. Are you guys in the market to trade anything or anyone to get, like, that third piece for Luka and KP? Is that – talking about that?
Trade what? Like, I don't know.
But I feel like you guys could trade, like, a first-round pick for, like a PJ Tucker type, or like a really good player, but not like a game changer. But maybe with Luka and KP, he can become, you know what I mean? Like a good guy, but not a great guy.
Yeah. I mean, free agency is probably going to be, I mean, Mark Cuban has to do something, you know, like he's been a pretty decent owner for us, you know, but, if you look at, like, everything that's happened with Dallas, you know, we have just missed out on the big, big signings. You know, we never
get anyone.
No. And it, even if it takes Blake Griffin and Chris Paul locking DeAndre Jordan in a freaking, like, room or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, but, yeah, I mean, I don't know who the free agents are next year. I can look that up. But
I can't think of one prime free agent in their prime who went to Dallas or close to their prime, you know, like they've never really signed anyone like that.
Not in a while, you know, what's his name? He was a guard. Monte Ellis was pretty decent. Who's the big that we won the finals with? Tyson Chandler.
Yeah.
But you're right. We don't get like marquee free agents, and I really don't know. I really don't know why personally, because
yeah,
because
everyone says Cuban's like the best owner in the league. He treats the players like awesome. They have the best facilities and all this stuff, and it's in Texas, tax free state. You know, no state income tax. So you would think more players would go there. And now you have Luka. You have like the Larry Bird of the 2020s. So you would think that would attract a big name. But so maybe this offseason something will happen. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm looking at on ESPN now, and it's like 2021 and 2022 free agents. So this offseason, would that be 2021, right?
I guess so, yeah.
So, I mean, there's
some good names.
Halfway decent names, but I mean, it's nothing. And there's some big names that on our list, like Hardaway Jr. is a free agent, and Richardson is a free agent, but we'll probably be extending Luka or re-signing Luka to a max deal. But it looks pretty barren, to be honest with you, dude. Like,
yeah, that's why I think you guys need a trade. You guys probably got to trade a first rounder for like a mid-level really good player.
I heard somebody say this on Around the Horn the other day. Bob Ryan, actually, that fucking old.
Oh,
old
yeah, dude. I love that dude.
he said that a first round draft pick is the most overrated NFL attribute, and I'm like, in the NFL, I don't agree, but in the NBA, I kind of agree. You know, like
it's super. Yeah, unless you have a top five pick in the NBA, it's like, what the fuck is
this? They're going to the D League, you know, and they're gonna come up maybe halfway or for a playoff push, but
or it's luck. And, like it's a top five. Like it's either you have a lottery pick or you hit a lucky thing in the late first round, like a Draymond Green or something like that, or like a Kawhi. Like you got lucky. It's not like everyone knew they were going to be that great. You just got lucky with it. So if it's not a lottery pick, it's kind of a crapshoot.
Exactly. So I don't understand why teams are so like willing to take draft picks for these players when, like you said, it's a crapshoot whether or not these players are going to pan out or not, you know? And another thing with adding pieces to what we have going on right now, you know, KP and Luka are big with the pick and roll, and Luka, I mean, he's a 6'8" point guard, you know, so he wants the ball, you know, so you have to have the right identity of player to bring in too. Like Victor Oladipo is a free agent this coming offseason, but he would never work in our system. Oladipo is not a great catch and shoot player. You know, he's not the best shooter really in general. You know, he's a drive the paint and produce either by getting fouled and getting to the line, making those shots when he's driving, or dishing it out because he's drawing people into the paint. But I really think we'd be okay if we could bring in one or two really good three-point shooters, you know, like a Redick.
You guys need like two more 3-and-D guys. Like they're a three-point specialist and they can play defense. If you get two of those, that's exactly what Luka needs. Like pop-up guys who are wide open. He drives and kicks. And then it's like him and KP are the guys like facilitating the offense. Everyone else is like just waiting for the three-pointer.
On paper, you know, we have three players averaging 18 or more a game, you know, and that to me is like, that's pretty solid, you know, when you have three players that can produce points like that, but it's just not, it's not panning out. And you and I were talking about it the other day. I used to worship the ground Rick Carlisle walked on, and you gotta wonder how much of it's on him, because he was widely regarded as one of the best coaches in the league from, you know, 2008 to 2015, you know. But I'll even go before 2008, because we went to the finals in 06, you know, against the Heat. That was 06, that was, right?
Yeah, but that was the finals you guys lost. That was the other
Avery
coach.
Bradley.
Avery Johnson.
Sorry about that. Yeah. So ever since he came to us, he's been doing really well, you know, and it's just, I got to kind of wonder, is it system? Is it the scheme or whatever?
That's also, because remember, Carlisle also butted heads with Rondo. I mean, Rondo's butts head was everybody, but he was, you know, still pretty good. He was still like playoff Rondo. Like he could still ball, and him and Carlisle did not get along, and they pretty much like got rid of him for nothing. And then you see him, he played pretty well for the Lakers. He played pretty well for the Pelicans a couple years ago. So
in a reduced role, is that an
issue? Yeah.
It was an issue Luka's rookie year. And I think it's an issue of him just not being able to fully hand the reins over. You're dealing with a LeBron type player where you just give him the fucking keys and say, have a nice drive, because Luka's produced, I mean, he's averaging 27.4, points per game, 9.4 rebounds, and 9.7 assists.
That's crazy, dude.
That's really good numbers. The only people putting up numbers like that are Jokic and actually Westbrook, minus the amount of points. Westbrook's averaging close to a triple-double a game, but in regards to like triple-doubles per game, there's really nobody doing that, you know, and he's not a selfish player. He's not just like trying to get those rebounds to pad his stats. He's just a freak and he's a gamer and he's so competitive. And I think that's why people call him, what did you say, a prima donna?
And yeah, prima donna. He's like always bitching and complaining about every single call, and like he's just kind of yelling at the refs all the time, and always, it's always like a thing. Like, you know how the soccer players always flop and shit? Like, they're always like, there's always something. And that's kind of what he's bringing, that like Italian, or is he Italian? Where's he from? He's bringing that like Eastern European Slovenian flair over. Yeah.
I think he's Slovenian, if I'm not mistaken.
He's bringing the attitude over where it's like everything's something.
I think that's, it could be cultural, you know, like it could be like a European thing where they're just vocal about that stuff. I don't know. I don't want to make an overgeneralization or like, like pigeonhole him into some European stereotype, but I also will say that it does kind of bother me a little bit too, like seeing him just like, he wears his emotions on his face, and after everything it seems like he's kind of bitching about everything. But hey man, if you're putting down 27-10-10, I'm bitch away, bud. Like, tripped up, got it
for real. So do you see them making a move? And if they don't make a move, what do you think is going to happen? Just another average season and, you know, kind of
first
good
round,
luck next year?
First round loss?
Yeah, that's not looking – like, it's when you have a player like Luka, you can't waste these years. Like, you have a generational talent. You can't waste this. You got to take advantage of this shit.
Yeah, and he's still really young. He just turned 21 last year. Like –
yeah, he's young, but so was Porzingis. Porzingis was young on the Knicks. Oh, we got 10 years with this dude, and then he had a couple injuries, and next thing you know, it's like he's a big question mark. So you can't take that for granted.
I would say we can't waste these years for Porzingis more than Luka. Luka's going to be in the league for the next 15 years, 10 to 15 years. And I really would like to see us turn this around. But, I mean, like watching us against the Jazz – Completely handled. We watching us against the Nuggets, and we got handled without the Jazz's point guard. What's his name?
Donovan Mitchell.
Donovan Mitchell wasn't even playing.
Wow.
And some dude they picked up from Australia, just dropping dimes on us. He put up like 30 points. Yeah, he did not miss from the three. That's one thing Utah does really, really well. Is shoot. They have a really
Was that Ingles? Was that Joe Ingles? He's nasty,
Ingles,
dude. He's been nasty,
dude,
for a
he's
while.
A freak. He
doesn't
a
miss,
freak.
Dude.
Yo, he's how long has he been in the league?
He's been good for a while, maybe like 3-4 years. He's been like good for the Jazz, and then he was like a D league guy, like bouncing around, and then the Jazz found a role for him, and he's been killing it for a long time.
We play him again tonight, and, like, I just paid $17 on Amazon Video to have NBA League Pass for one team, mm-hmm. and it's like $17 a month, and I'm like already regretting that decision. I'm only one game into the package. You're like, I don't want to watch this tonight. They have Donovan Mitchell back most likely. And it's like,
yeah,
if we play anything remotely similar to how we played the other night, it's not going to be close. It won't, like, the fact that we only lost by like 12 was not even indicative of how that game went. Like, we were down by like 15 after the first quarter and pretty much consistently on throughout the game. It was really, really ugly.
You're like, I need to get that $17 back.
Yeah, cancel. Fuck, hey, Caitlin, can you cancel that subscription? Or, no, Utah's going to be an interesting team to watch this year. They've got a lot of rotation pieces, like Jordan Clarkson. Like, what? The guy had like 24 points. Yeah, like he's definitely got to be up for sixth man of the year. They were talking about that actually during the game. Mm-hmm. For those listening, NBA is not my number one sport. So sorry if I sound like a rook, but Jordan Clarkson, Mike Conley, you know, Bogdanovich is a really good player. Mm-hmm. Rudy Gobert always tears our butthole open, like wide open, like
monster.
They're just good. They're good.
Yeah, and they're the best team in the West right now, like record wise. They have the best record. They're, so
10-game winning streak.
Really? Damn. Yeah, they're killing it. Let's transition over to the NFL. We got the Super Bowl coming. Super Bowl coming next weekend, so a week away. What's your prediction for the game? Oh, no. How about we go? Were you surprised that these are the two final teams?
Surprised by Tampa Bay, but if you would have told me at the beginning of the season that it was KC and Tampa Bay, I would have been a little bit surprised, only because I expected teams like Seattle and New Orleans to be there. But if you looked at how the season kind of transpired, you know, Drew Brees getting hurt and New Orleans not playing their best ball, Russell Wilson really not playing the same in the second half of the season.
Yeah, that was
altogether
weird.
He kind of just like disappeared on me. So in terms of who's playing the best right now, I'm not highly shocked by the Bucs being there. I just don't want to see them there because their fan base is highly delusional most of the time. But
like, it sucks growing up in Florida and not being a Bucs fan and like having all Bucs fans around you. It's so
we're
annoying.
We're not going to stop. We're going to be hearing about this for
all the time.
20 years.
It was the worst. Like, when the Bucks won versus the Raiders, like, whenever that was, 2002, that was, like, the worst, like, month of my life. Like, just hearing all these, like, phony Bucks fans talking about the Super Bowl. It was so annoying. Like, the one time the Bucks are good. And then now it's kind of the same thing over again.
Yeah, they're coming out of the woodworks, you know, like...
out the woodwork.
Like, how long have you been a Bucks fan, bro? Like, you grew up in Orlando, and I'm pretty sure you liked somebody else before... yesterday, but
back when Jameis was throwing 30 picks, you didn't hear nothing. But as soon as Tom Brady comes to town, Tampa Bay, TB12. All right, guy.
Eating W's, bro. You know?
You didn't hear a peep when they're eating W's.
Exactly. So what about you? Like, are you shocked? You know, I know you thought that the Cowboys were going 16-0 and
I honestly did.
Winning
like, this
the Super Bowl.
This is the one year I really thought Cowboys had a good chance and they failed. But I think the AFC played out exactly how the teams are playing all year. Like, that kind of played out perfectly of all the, like, how it looked all season. That was exactly how it played out. The NFC almost did too. There was like four NFC teams that all had an equal shot, I think, of making it. And I thought the Packers were probably the favorite, but then I'm not surprised the Bucks are there, but it could have been between them, the Packers, the Saints, and maybe the Seahawks earlier in the year. Like, any one of those teams could have made it. And then
pretty
it's just surprising.
Surprised.
Yeah. It's just surprising Tom Brady's going to 10 Super Bowls. Like, what the fuck? That's ridiculous. Like, almost unbelievable.
It's a generational type thing where, like, this has been my mindset with Tom Brady since the get. Yeah, it pisses me off that he's not wearing navy blue and silver, you know, but you got to appreciate history. Every single day he takes the field is potential history being made. And if you're spiteful, then okay, you do you, boo-boo, but I'm going to appreciate history because
it's history, dude.
We're going to be talking about this guy for so long.
Like, he's like when you listen to like Babe Ruth stories where like he hit all these home runs, like it doesn't, his stats don't make sense. That's going to be Brady, right? Like 100 years from now, they'll be like, what? He went to 10 Super Bowls in football? That makes no sense. But like, we're watching it. We're watching it out as it's happening.
The man throws 3 interceptions and still wins the game.
And they win.
How does that happen? How does that happen?
I don't know. Because the Packers didn't take advantage. They didn't have enough. Like, they didn't take advantage of those turnovers. They would have 3 and outs or field goals. And that's not going to cut it versus Tom Brady.
Tampa Bay's defense has been playing better in the playoffs too. We were talking with Lynch like weeks ago that their defense was kind of hurting. It seems like either they got healthy or they just kind of rallied because their defense, I mean, they still gave up 26, but that's to Aaron Rodgers. It's another one that we're going to be talking about for years to come, you know?
And Rodgers was the MVP of the league. I think he's going to win the MVP. And they kind of shut him down.
Yeah. My family, we were going back and forth. And I gave my brother 4 points. He was taking the Bills. I gave him 4 points. And I took that pretty easily because my breakdown of this game was that both defenses were comparable, you know. KC has better linebackers, and I would say that the cornerbacks for the Bills are probably a little bit better. The Bills don't have a running game to slow it down enough. I mean, yeah, not really, you know. Singletary is not a dominant back. Like he's a smaller back. He's not, and to me, I mean, he's not an effective 3-down back to be able to carry the load, you know, give him 25 carries and he's going to get his, not necessarily, he might go 25 for fucking 41. Yeah. You have to slow down the clock against KC because every time they get the ball, they score.
They're crazy, dude. They're crazy good. It doesn't make any sense. And they have so many weapons and Mahomes is probably the best to ever do it talent-wise. You have to have an offense that can put up just as many points. You have to score 30. You have to score at least 30 to even be close to them. And the Bills just didn't have that firepower. I mean, maybe Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs can make it work, but that's what they only can do so much. You need more.
I'm just looking at Tyreek Hill's stat line, dude. Like, every week he's just like – he's insane. 9 for 172.
That's like ridiculous. Watching him run, he looks like the fastest person I've ever seen play football. It doesn't make any sense. I've never seen anyone run as fast as him. Have you? When he's running, like full speed?
The breakaway speed is, and how do those short little legs move so fast? Like, how
so fast? Like 5'9", if that, I don't know. But his legs move so quick. He's got some fast twitch muscles.
Yeah, he's 5'9" listed, that means he's actually 5'8". So he's 5'10" listed. He's 5'10", so that he's probably about 5'9". Like, that's insane.
He moves so fast.
Yeah, he's great.
That's such a deadly combination with Mahomes, who can chuck it down the field and such a good passer. When you have a dude who's faster than any player on the field, then you got Kelce and you got Hardman and you got Sammy Watkins might come back, which whatever, but you know. It's gonna be a good game, I think.
Yeah,
I got the Chiefs for sure, but it'll be a good game.
What is the spread on that?
Ooh, that's a good question. Let me look. I want to say what's in Tampa, which I don't think it's really a home field advantage for the Super Bowl. You know, like fans wise.
First time ever.
That's crazy. Where's this shit at?
It's Chiefs minus 3.5.
That sounds about right. Chiefs are better, but Bucks are kind of at home. Yeah.
Over under 57.5.
Yeah, I would take the Chiefs. Chiefs minus 3.5 for sure. I think it'll be high scoring, but I think Kansas City puts up like 40 for sure. So I think they're going to pull out all the stops.
You think Chiefs in the over then?
I think Chiefs in the over and they cover.
Yeah, sure. So like, that's what I was saying, like Chiefs and the over. I would my heart is saying Chiefs in the over, but for some reason I just think that defenses always show up to play. We don't really get a whole lot of just turn and burn shootout Super Bowls. It's a big stage, you know, there's going to be some jitters. Even though both of these quarterbacks are Super Bowl winning quarterbacks, I would say Chiefs and the under, but I take that 3.5 points. I don't even look at that when I'm picking the Chiefs, because I think that 3.5 is about right. When I was thinking about it earlier, before seeing what the spread was, I said I could comfortably take Chiefs and 4 points. Six is a little is much, but wouldn't be shocked if they won by 10.
Yeah, for sure. And I think the Bucs defense is better than the Chiefs defense, but I think the Chiefs defense has a talented players where they show up. I think they play better than they are on the big stage.
Anthony Hitchens leading that linebacker core.
Yeah, they got Chris Jones, they got the Honey Badger, like they got talent to where they can become a top five defense during this game. You know what I mean?
I thought they had another former Dallas Cowboy on their linebacker core. I'm pretty sure they do. He must be injured. I can't think of his name.
Yeah, I don't know.
But when we let Hitchens go, I was not happy about that. But it is what it is.
Speaking of Cowboys, let's move to Cowboys real quick. This is basically a Cowboys podcast, I feel like.
Yeah, for sure.
What do the Cowboys need to do, you think, to, like, this offseason to become, like, at least get to the NFC Championship game? Because that's where I think our talent is, you know what I mean? We should be able to get to a deep playoff run, but we just can't do it. What do you think we're missing?
Honestly, dude, there's so much going on with the Cowboys right now that I don't know what our roster is going to look like. Do we have Dak? Do we not have Dak? Is Stafford our quarterback? Or are we going to try to pick up some scrub? You know, like, what I do know is that between Lawrence and Cooper and Elliott and Prescott, if he gets a new deal, you don't win Super Bowls when four players eat up 40% of your salary cap, you know, and something has to change. I've heard rumors about Ezekiel possibly getting traded to Jacksonville, getting reunited with Urban Meyer. I think somebody mentioned this to me, but I don't think it was an actual thing that was even being discussed, but I've heard Dak and Ezekiel for Watson, you know. Yeah, like there's so much going on in the rumor mill right now that so are you asking me what do we need to do if Dak's our quarterback, let's say we have the same nucleus.
Yeah, we both had the same nucleus of last year, but Dak's back. What do you think, like, what are we missing?
For starters, effective defensive tackles. We don't stop the run. We haven't stopped the run in close to 3 or 4 or 5 years. And we need to be able to stuff the middle to allow everything else to be effective behind them. If the linebackers are doing the defensive tackles jobs, then there's going to be gaping holes all over the place.
Maybe McCoy comes back.
I've heard that. I've heard that there's some interest from both camps in that regard. Defensive tackle. We are losing. We have three defensive backs that are free agents this year. Safety Xavier Woods and cornerback Jordan Lewis and Chidobe Awuzie. We re-signed Anthony Brown, the infamous nameless player that we can never remember his name. I didn't realize this, but we re-signed him to an extension last March. So he's inked. So right now we have Brown and we have Diggs, and then we have
we drafted what? Like Reggie Robinson was a rookie last year too, second rounder, I think.
Yeah. We got to see the back of his jersey a couple times towards the end of the season.
Diggs, when he was just getting Diggs is a stud. Yeah. Absolutely.
I was wrong about him. You were right about him. He really did come around. I think he ended up with like four picks.
I don't know, but he's a ball hawk. He makes mistakes, but he was a rookie, and he's always around the ball making, like, getting turnovers. He has more picks last year than Byron Jones had his whole Dallas Cowboys career, I feel like, you know?
For real. He's definitely going to be a huge core piece for us moving forward. But in saying that we're losing Jordan Lewis and Awuzie, I think we need to bring one of them back. And unpopular opinion, I think we bring back Jordan Lewis.
Me too. I like his attitude. He's like another type of dude that's a ball hawk. He's always around like fumbles and he gets picks now and then. I feel like Awuzie is like a good average solid corner, but he's nothing special. And we need guys who are a little bit more than that.
He's like a second tier Byron Jones. You know, he gets he's actually done decent with interceptions, but I mean, he doesn't get targeted a whole lot, and that could – but also his targets were down this year because he was out for a little bit. But they both give up around 68 – like it's like a 68% completion percentage when they're targeted. You know, so you're not really losing much if you let Awuzie walk, and I think that he's more, quote, valuable in the free agent market. I think that he's going to get a bigger contract, and we don't have that extra money to spare. So – bring back Jordan Lewis and draft a cornerback early. Lastly is safety.
Can we fucking get Earl Thomas? No one else wants him.
Please. I don't know. Maybe, you know, with Dan Quinn coming in to man the defense, you know, he's familiar with Earl Thomas. There's been talks about possibly bringing Richard Sherman in to pair him back up with Dan Quinn. I just take everything that I read with a grain of salt because like all of that involves salary cap and we don't have salary cap, you know. We're struggling money wise and we have a bunch of really good free agents, you know. I mean, I think we should let Tyrone Crawford walk. He's been useless and for a long time for us. Sean Lee is free agent. If he wants to come back for like veteran minimum, sure. Otherwise become our linebackers coach and shut the fuck up. Alden Smith. You could make an argument for Alden Smith. If he came back for around the same price tag, sure. But if he expects $7 to $8 million a year, he's not worth it in my opinion. Chidobe Awuzie, Jordan Lewis, Antoine Woods is another interesting piece that is going to be.
He's pretty good. That's like a D tackle. He was all right.
He's a good rotation guy for sure. And then Xavier Woods are the biggest.
Gone. Like I'm so sick of like regular dudes. We have so many regular dudes in our defense. Xavier Woods is one of those guys. He's a regular dude. We could find him for like 2 cents on the dollar on the free agent market. If you're gonna do that, sign some random for cheap or. Go big or go home, get Earl Thomas. Don't pay a regular dude big time money. That's what I can't stand.
I agree. I was hoping that you said we could find a guy like him in like the sixth or seventh round, kind of like we did with Xavier Woods. We drafted him like sixth round from Louisiana Tech or Louisiana or Louisiana Tech. He was good. Don't get me wrong. Like he exceeded his expectations, but he's kind of fallen off. And I like our one safety that we have now. That
one dude was good. What was his name? He was pretty good.
Donovan Wilson.
He would hit, dude. He would knock some guys out.
And Darian Thompson isn't bad either. So I'd like to see if he could move over to free safety possibly. But Reggie Robinson is actually listed as a safety on our depth chart. So I know he got some looks at corner last year, but I thought he played corner for us last year, not safety. But we're looking pretty light, you know, on the outside. And somebody wrote the other day, like, teams are rapidly learning that you can't ignore the defensive tackle and safety positions. And I feel like that's what we've been doing
for 20
a
years.
A long time.
We've never had a good safety since Darren Woodson. I mean, we had Roy Williams was all right. He was a big hitter.
Yeah, he's just
for
a
little
bit, you know.
But we haven't had a stud superstar safety since Darren Woodson.
Agreed.
That's sad.
Honestly, when you're talking about Jeff Heath like he's some all-star player, you know there's a freaking problem.
For real, like they were loving Jeff Heath. He's like, he's okay, but we're trying to win Super Bowls here. What the fuck?
Right. Yeah, so I think those are the biggest three, like, glaring needs that we have. I think that you look at the – what's the tight end's name from Florida? Pitts.
I think so.
It's something Pitts. If he falls to us, you watch that ship sail. This isn't –
Yeah, we don't need a tight end.
No. Blake Jarwin is still – in my opinion, going to do very, very well for us. And then Dalton Schultz,
he looked good.
He proved himself, you know, so we can't say that we don't have a serviceable tight end, because we had a serviceable tight end even after the Jarwin injury. Mm-hmm. What do you have? He probably had like 600 yards.
Yeah. I'd say he probably like 50 catches, 600 yards, a couple touchdowns, I'm sure, something like that. I mean, he was adequate. Yeah. He was serviceable. He was not bad.
You're almost right on point. 63 receptions for 615 yards and 4 touchdowns. Like that's pretty for a barren tight end market right now. Fantasy, you were searching for tight ends all over the place. You couldn't find it. So I mean, that's pretty serviceable. I would say it's top 15 for at his position. But
oh, for sure, yeah.
Next, we have to start looking to replace Tyron Smith. We need to bolster our offensive line. Tyler Bedaz was a great pickup for us last year in the draft. Basically a Travis Frederick Jr. We'll see if he can excel to that, but both came from Wisconsin. I'm a Big Ten fan for offensive linemen. Give me those corn-fed, big old white dudes that, like
– they're huge.
Like, just, you can't move them, you know, but I'm tired of seeing – if we're not getting Big Ten, then I'm sorry, don't draft a wide offensive lineman if they're not from the Big Ten, because Connor McGovern and Williams from Texas,
they suck.
They look like fullbacks, and they're getting outmatched handled.
We definitely have to get we either need a stud defensive player, like a start tomorrow. Superstar defensive player, because I think we have a top 10 pick, right? We have number 10.
Yeah, the Curtain, or what's his name from Alabama? Curtain.
I think so. Patrick Curtain, is that a safety?
I think he's a cornerback.
If we don't have a game-changing Hall of Fame caliber defensive player available on the board, then you have to get an offensive lineman. I feel like at that point, because we need depth.
Hang on. I think I just butchered that guy's name. Alabama draft prospects. We do need depth, and we need depth in the defensive backfield big time right now. It's Surtain, Patrick Surtain, and yeah, he's a cornerback.
Yeah, we have a lot of talk 10 of overall.
That's a big pick.
Yeah, top 10.
Biggest pick since what, 2016, when we got Zeke at number 4?
I think so.
And then our only other top 10 that I can remember was when we got Mo Claiborne at like
– that was like 5, I think. That was so bad.
Yeah, it was real, real bad. Another name that I've heard for the draft this year who actually wants to come to us is the linebacker for – I believe Micah Parsons Jr. for Penn State.
Is he good?
Yeah.
Penn State's got good backs. I mean, that's where Sean Lee came from.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. And Micah Parsons, I mean, there's talks of like Mel Kiper Jr.'s draft 19.0 that's going to change 37 times this week. He's got him. I think he said that he could go as early as like number 8 to Philly, you know, and so it's really going to depend on how the draft pans out, because there's 3 quarterbacks that are going to be taken right out of the gate, you know, and I love when that happens, because you're looking at multiple positions where the number 1 is still available. If you're in the top 10, the number 1 offensive lineman is usually still available. The number 1 linebacker, the number 1 safety, and that's how you build your team is through the draft and getting these studs, you know. So I hope that we can have a good turnout. You know, I would say that 2020 was a pretty decent draft for us. The good news is that we don't need a whole lot on offense.
Exactly.
What do you think? What's your like biggest must do's for this offseason?
Yeah, I think we need to spend some money on defense, probably sign at least like one really, really, really good player. I think it's Earl Thomas. We can get on the cheap. And then the draft needs to be, we need to hit every single pick, at least the top like 3-4 rounds. With either, we only need to draft offensive linemen and defensive players. If we draft any other position besides that, we fucked up. Like, that's all we need. Get some O-linemen, get some depth, and get some defensive players, and we should be fine. Get Dak healthy, and I think we have something going.
I couldn't agree more. I think his name is Tomlinson for the New York Giants. He's a defensive tackle that's a free agent this year. There's been a lot of talk about him. Dalvin Tomlinson. He's an unrestricted free agent this year. So I would not mind seeing him come over, because I was looking at his stats. And, I mean, defensive tackle stats don't really ever scream at you, but he's got really good ratings against the run, and that's just what we need. We need people to clog up the middle. And hopefully that kid, Tristan – Hill or whatever.
Tristan Hill, yeah. I guess he kind of came on a little bit toward the end of the year.
Yeah. I think he had a pretty serious injury, though, so he probably won't be starting the season with us. Didn't he tear his – wasn't it a knee? I thought he tore his ACL.
I thought that was before. Or no.
It was like mid-season.
Shit.
Yeah, well, torn ACL.
Really?
So he won't be back until probably November, you know, October, fine. November.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we get McCoy back, you know. He should be back by the start of the season. He should be – he was already like, is he even going to be close to his prime kind of before the season, you know, and then he tore his quad. So this is probably his last year if he even comes back healthy. We'll see, but
– he already got that money for the cheap from us, so he better give us a – Texas friendly deal, bro, because
he really should.
I think we're on point. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with Dak in these coming months, and also just the whole dynamic of our roster. could be completely different.
I think Dak is booked though. I think we're going to franchise Dak, and if I think we're going to try to sign him to a long-term deal. If we don't, he's going to get franchised again. I think it's pretty settled on that end, in my opinion.
I mean, $37 million franchise tag or $37 million contracted. He's going to be getting that next year anyway. So you don't really lose out on much, and that would give Dak a chance to really come back and say, pay me now, you know. But last year I would have been heartbroken had we parted ways with Dak. I mean, this year, if the right move was there, you know, like
I like Deshaun would Watson, give, you're saying?
Yeah. Or even in, not in place of Dak, but to replace Dak, I would take Stafford. With yeah, weapons? I
mean, if Dak wasn't the same, maybe I would take Stafford. Or if, like, the contract situation gets real ugly.
That's the only thing I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
I would never take Stafford over Dak. I think Dak's top seven in the league.
Yeah, same.
Comfortably.
But if we had to, I wouldn't mind Stafford if we had to.
Josh Allen or Dak Prescott?
Dak. 100 times over 100. For sure. Josh Allen had a good year. He had a really good year. But I like Dak for sure. I think they're the same. I'd say they're the exact same level.
I would say they're pretty comparable. Josh Allen, Dak Prescott, and Deshaun Watson, I feel like, are all kind of...
But Deshaun, I would take Deshaun over both of them for sure. Deshaun's numbers were like Aaron Rodgers' numbers. They're almost the same.
He led the league in completion more percentage. Than one category.
Yeah.
And more than one, yeah. I think in yards too, if I'm not mistaken. He almost threw for 5,000.
Yeah, and his team was ass. He lost Fuller for the second half of the year. He's a beast, dude. Not second half, maybe like five games maybe. But that's still a good chunk. And Fuller was like his only good receiver.
Brandon Cooks is good when he's healthy.
Not good. He has a concussion right now. He just got another concussion
from sneezing. Yeah, the kid's always freaking concussed. But he did it with very limited help. I'm still torn on my Josh Allen versus Deshaun Watson. I would say Deshaun, just like if anybody listened to my monotoned NFL rankings at every position, I ended up putting Watson ahead of Josh, but like literally just by a smidge. Like
it's close.
It is, and I'm excited to see what Josh Allen. He's gonna get paid. He is gonna get paid some. Like he's about to hit.
He did ball out at the right time. Like this is his first like great year, where Deshaun and Dak have had like a couple consecutive years of being pretty awesome. But it's good timing for Josh Allen. He'll get paid.
Absolutely.
Pretty fucking well. All right, last thing. So what are you doing for Super Bowl Sunday? What are your plans?
I actually work. So I'll probably just come home and watch it at the house. Get this, bro. I don't even want to say this out loud because like I threw like a mini temper tantrum over this. if you were vaccinated before certain deadlines, you'd receive both doses. I was under the understanding that you were automatically entered into a raffle at Tampa General to win Super Bowl tickets because we're a sponsor of the Bucks.
Yeah.
And the email that gets sent out that says enter the raffle here went to my fucking junk folder, bro. So I'm sitting here thinking like, okay, well, I was like, I probably won't get picked, but I mean, hopefully they draw my name. I even like emailed the CEO back when he sent out those emails, like, look, let me know what I got to do, you know? And, of course I never heard back cause he's stupid busy, but, I missed the email completely.
How'd you find out? Went to your drunk.
Because after the deadline was up, he was like, oh, the deadline was, January, whatever, 2026. And I'm searching everywhere through my email. And I finally just searched Super Bowl, two words, not one word, because two words, it came up. one word, I couldn't find it anywhere. It was in my junk folder.
Wow.
Not trash, not deleted, but went to my junk folder.
How pissed were you?
Just wait. It was supposed to be a drawing. Everybody who entered the contest got a fucking Super Bowl ticket.
Bruh. What? About to go jump off a bridge. That's a neck. Fucking, that's a neck and a half.
Oh,
is there anyone you know that has that doesn't want to go, like that entered it, like
that's
just to
even,
do
that's
it?
Not even
or
the thing. It's not even the thing. You had to have your COVID results sent to the fucking NFL by TGH. So there's no way around it. They're like, oh yeah, no, we extended the deadline. They extended the deadline like once or twice, and it was just a complete boneheaded move on my part. Like I not even really though, because I like it was in my junk.
Yeah,
why
I mean it's not like
my junk.
Especially if all your work emails get sent to you anyways, it's not like you would expect it to go to your junk. You know
exactly.
What I mean?
Exactly. It's not like I'm just going. I'm new there. I'm not just going to rapid fire delete shit, like, because I don't know if it's important or not. So I'm actually going to like read it at least the subject line, you know. But yeah, I was low key like fuming when I found all this out.
Would you have gotten two tickets? Like, could have Caitlin come with you? Or if it's just one, then it's like yeah. So maybe you wouldn't even went or no? Would you have gone? I don't know if I would go by myself. I don't think I would go alone.
Well, that's because you're a little bit like more introverted than I am. I'm comfortable around people I don't know. I'll end up leaving there with 10, 15 friends that I didn't even know, and probably twice as many enemies. And my team.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's the second part of that was definitely true. Damn, that sucks. That's heartbreaking.
Mm. Yep. I'm going to pretend it's not life-altering. You know, it's just the Super Bowl.
Just the Super Bowl. That's, you know, in your city once once a lifetime. No big deal.
Exactly. Everybody just stay calm, all right?
Oh, my God. That
so
sucks.
But, yeah, so in that case, I will be crying in my living room. Because The Weeknd's performing at halftime, too. Like,
and The Weeknd's going to be there. Ooh. Right. That's
like,
yeah.
We came
rough.
Up on the weekend. We came for up real. On the Birds Volume 2, bro. Like, oh
hey.
My gosh.
House of Balloons, Thursday, Echoes of Silence, that's classics. You put me on the weekend too. I never would have found them without you. So.
And then it was on blast on those like 1970s speakers of yours every single day. Those
I forgot how
great.
I got those. Yeah, I forgot
I
how I even got
are.
Those.
It was one of your brothers.
I think I got them from Jefferson. I don't know where Jefferson got them. No idea.
Who knows? Probably stole them.
But they worked and they were loud as fuck and they banged.
Yeah,
shit, dude. I feel sorry. That's shitty. That's free tickets.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, I mean, such is life. I'm just going to act like I don't care and be all right. Be all right. I mean, it is what it is.
Shit, yeah. I'm working Super Bowl Sunday too, but I mean, I got off at like 4 and then I don't know what I'm doing yet. I don't know. Because I don't think, because we don't have, well, I don't know. I might just watch it at home. I don't think I'm going to go out, but probably watch it at home, get some food, watch the game. I'm cheering for the Chiefs, so.
Same.
We'll see.
Yeah. How's everything going at your job? Is your hospital pretty heavily hit by COVID right now, or?
No, it's not bad. We only have like give or take 30 or 40 COVID patients in house.
Are you serious?
Yeah, that's not bad at
Holy
all
smokes.
For us.
That's no, it's not bad at all. It's how many are on my floor every day.
Yeah, like peak summer, we had like 100. Was like the highest we got to, I think, in the summertime.
How big's your hospital?
Not big. It's 5 floors, but 3 of them like see patients, so like 300 beds, give or take.
Okay, so that's not, okay. I gotcha.
Yeah, so that's not bad. It's not bad at all. How about you guys?
Well, that's good. I mean, in the ICU, I work in the COVID ICU, so I mean, I feel like I'm kind of jaded. We only see the worst of the worst COVID patients, but that's what I see every day that I go into work are COVID. So Tampa General does a really good job. They have what's called the JEDI unit, Global Emerging Diseases Institute. And that's the floor. It's like we have like a holding floor. We have a med-surg, med-tele, and then the ICU. But it's like a complete separate entity. It used to be the rehab building, and now they've just turned it into, they were going to demolish it, and then COVID came along, and they're like, wait. And they've just kind of designated that entire wing of the hospital to COVID-positive patients. And so I would say it's pretty, Tampa's pretty lit right now with COVID. West Central Florida in general is just pretty heavily afflicted with COVID. It's starting to come down numbers wise, but we're not seeing that in the ICU. You know, we're seeing patients on 45-year-olds on ECMO and CRRT and intubate. Like evidence-based practice says that intubating is like the worst thing for these patients, and it's like unavoidable. We're seeing like people younger than my parents, you know, that are just compromising so quick. And it's scary. It's scary, dude, because like the amount of like public ignorance there is to such a widespread pandemic, like it's not November anymore and it's still here. So, I mean, I just wish people would kind of wake up to that reality. And it's definitely eye-opening for sure, because
but like, what's that from? What's like the bad reaction from? Is it all the comorbidities? Because 99% of like younger healthy people will be fine. Like, what is it that makes someone who's like 45 have to be in the ICU?
We're seeing a common grouping of comorbidities that lead to bad outcomes. Any sort of renal failure, any sort of like chronic kidney disease, like stage 3 or beyond. If your kidneys aren't working well, then that's never a good thing for these patients. Diabetes is another big one. High blood pressure is another big one. Cholesterol. And if you've ever had a blood clot, if you've ever had a stroke or a heart attack, if you're prone to having clots, you know, it's an inflammatory disease by nature. So it definitely raises your risk for a cardiac event during the course of being sick with having COVID, because you're having like a 10-day period of like an infectious period. And then after that, everybody thinks they're fine, but you've got widespread inflammation throughout your body. And if you're not seeing the labs, it's easy to overlook. And my granddad, thank the Lord, dude. He actually got diagnosed last week, and he's 86, 87 in March. And, I thought it was, I didn't think it was going to go well, man. He's got those risk factors. He's diabetic. He's hypertensive. He used to be like largely overweight. He's got a little bit of congestive heart failure. That's another one that, you're seeing poor outcomes with, you know. But I've been telling him, like, just cause you're starting to feel better, you know, don't just go bebopping back into the Y and start your workouts per usual, kind of ramp up to it, because you've still got a lot of inflammation going on in your body. You just kind of keep checking the boxes and be patient. Cause it's not like a 5-day course. It's every bit of
a long time. Yeah. 15
days.
And with the comorbidities, like if you have chronic kidney disease, you probably have hypertension, and if you have hypertension and all that, you probably have diabetes. Like, it's not, you don't have one of those, you probably have all three. So that
hypertension
just,
and diabetes are the two leading causes of kidney failure. So it's like you're spot on there,
you know. So, if you probably have all three of those things, so you're probably not the healthiest, and then you get COVID, then it's like, fuck.
So obesity, it's a, also is
a, it's a wake-up call for a lot of people to get healthy, you know?
So I mean, PSA, get vaccinated if you can. I've gotten both of mine. Have you gotten yours?
Mm-mm. No, I'm not getting vaccinated.
Okay. Well, if you have the opportunity to do it, it's safe. and the sciences behind it. And if you want to know more about it, hit me up. I would be glad to have a conversation with you, because
hit up Johnny K, is in his DMs, sliding his DMs.
For sure. We need to put it behind us, and that's the only way we're gonna do it is herd immunity through vaccination, because people are just not taking it seriously still.
Yeah. But that's wild.
It is what it is, man. It's a job. You know, I go to work every day. That's really all it is.
Yeah, it's crazy because the COVID people I see, just because it's therapy usually, they're not doing that bad because then, you know, they're good enough to do therapy. So then
they're out of quarantine generally too, right? Oh, yes. Wait. Yeah, actually, some of them, we get PT on our floor actually. Yeah, that's a freaking invaluable resource on our unit. So they're not necessarily out of quarantine. But yeah, if that's generally like when PT and OT get consulted, it's like the light at the end of the tunnel. Like, all right, buddy, keep going, you know?
Like, you're at the point where you can probably go home. Let's have therapy see you and see how well you're doing. You know, that's exactly. That's COVID people I see. Yeah, so that'll be it'll be interesting because they say like most pandemics, like the Spanish flu lasted like 18 months. And so this summer should be around that time, give or take 18 months. So we'll see, hopefully this summer where everything's at.
I think it should be pretty relatively in control by August. Comfortably, but yeah, June maybe. You know, we could, I was talking to somebody about this the other day. I was outside in the parking lot with my mask around my neck. I had just come out of the store and there was a coworker in the parking lot and he started talking to me, and after like we had a conversation, I walked away. I was like, oh shit, I didn't have my mask on. And it's like, we were outdoors, you know, he's probably not sick. I'm vaccinated. And it was still like a triggering kind of thing, just because of that's what we've come to. And that's going to take a long time for people to
get comfortable
again. You know, it took a hit on not just us, but the world in multiple different avenues. So it's going to be a huge recovery period for a lot of people.
Yeah. It's going to take a long time to get comfortable living a normal life, hopefully without masks and stuff all the time. Hopefully we get to that point to where we can do that kind of stuff.
I don't think healthcare workers are ever going to not wear masks moving forward. I think
that's what I'm thinking too. I could see that.
I think it's going to be a new normal, and I'm okay with it. I mean, it sucks, but
it's part of the job. Yeah. I could definitely see that as a healthcare, like working in the hospital if someone's in the hospital, their health is compromised. You know what I mean? So I could see that being where they'd want everyone to wear masks all the time.
Could be a new normal.
We'll see. All right, Johnny K, I appreciate you coming on, my dog. We got to do one more before the Super Bowl, if we can figure it out.
Cool. When is it? February 7th?
Yeah, so a week from Sunday.
All right, yeah, we can link up next week.
Let's do it.
Later, brother.
All right, bro. Take it easy.
See you, man.